This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. We've been talking over the last couple of months about the legalization of marijuana, as Colorado and Washington have become the first two states to do that. And they're now trying to figure out exactly how do you legalize and regulate and tax marijuana. At the same time, you've got a federal government that still says marijuana is illegal to sell and to smoke. Mark Kleiman has been working on this problem because he is one of the consultants to the state of Washington's State Liquor Control Board on the implementation of a regulated market for cannabis, and has talked about this on the show before, so I'm happy to welcome him back. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me back.
It's a pleasure. So Tuesday, the Senate Judiciary Committee, headed by Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont, had a hearing on exactly this problem. Two states have it legal. The federal government has it illegal. Where do we stand now after that meeting?
Well, the announcement of the meeting seems to have prompted the Justice Department to finally announce its policy. Basically, the Justice Department is saying that it's changing its prosecution priority rules so that businesses that are licensed by states with strong and effective regulation will not be targets, even if they're large and for-profit, unless they trench on one of eight listed federal priorities.
And those priorities include selling to kids or selling to people out of state and other things like those, right?
Violence, gang involvement, yeah, and so on.
Okay. How are the two states doing, and in particular the one state that you're working with, Washington?
They're both grinding along, you know, getting their regulations out the door. Colorado got its final rules out this week. I think the Washington rules are going to go final in about 2 weeks. That means they'll start taking applications for licenses to grow, to process, and to sell. And I think they'll probably have stores open sometime early in the winter.
Aren't there other obstacles, though, between the state and the federal differences in regulation? I can think of one being banking.
That was the most interesting thing that came up at the hearing yesterday. Senator Leahy raised the banking question, and Deputy Attorney General Cole, testifying for the Justice Department, said, yes, we're aware of it. Yes, it's a problem. Yes, having an all-cash business is a public safety issue because it attracts robbery. And we're working with FinCEN, which is the money laundering regulatory unit at Treasury, and the banking regulators to resolve the problem.
Now, when you say
that was the big news out of yesterday's hearing.
When you say they're an all-cash business, does that mean that current businesses that do medical marijuana business can't have a bank account?
They mostly cannot have a bank account, and almost none of them can take a credit card.
So would Congress
have a real problem?
Would Congress have to change laws to allow businesses that are now going to be licensed by Colorado and Washington to allow those businesses to have even just a simple checking account?
I don't think the law needs to change. There are two issues. There's a question of interpretation. Whether the crime of money laundering consists of getting any illegal income into the banking system, or whether it's only doing so surreptitiously. So if on the deposit slip it says Joe's Marijuana Shop,
yeah,
arguably that's not money laundering. It'd only be money laundering if it said, you know, Joe's Herbal Products.
Or Joe's Laundromat. The other regulatory
question, so that may be something that FinCEN can simply put out as an interpretation.
Okay.
The other question is the bank regulators. There's a rule, again, part of the money laundering laws, that if a bank gets money from what looks like a suspicious source, it has to file what's called a suspicious activity report, an SAR. Well, it's just paperwork, but you know, it's work.
Mm-hmm.
The bank regulators apparently have been telling the banks if they have an account with a marijuana store, every single deposit is suspicious activity. And so when the banks are told that, they just call up the customer and say, sorry, we're terminating your account.
Yeah, we don't need more paperwork.
I think this can be fixed informally.
Okay.
But the main point is that the Justice Department is now saying to the Treasury Department, okay, let's get this fixed.
Yeah.
And I assume the Treasury, you know, doesn't have much stake in it one way or the other. If justice wants to go that way, I think they'll probably go along. So I think that problem's going to be fixed, and that's a big deal. One of the things that opens up that I would like to see is legalizing home delivery. Washington specifically forbids home delivery. And part of the argument is, since at the moment it's a cash transaction, that delivery vehicle is a robbery target. And you just don't need the public safety.
Really. Right, right.
If you can make it a credit card transaction, that means it's fairly easy to make sure it's not kids buying. I actually think retail stores are not such a great idea. I think the community impact is much less, and the sort of effective marketing is much less. If people are going on a website and making a phone call and, you know, like ordering a pizza. Because that means there's no store that people have to walk by and decide whether I'm going to buy cannabis today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk to anybody with a drinking problem. The fact that walking down the streets of any major city, you're going to pass 20 places where you could buy alcohol and where there's a sign in the window.
Yeah.
Means you have to exercise your self-control 20 times every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see that as necessary. But that's the minority view at the moment.
So you'd call your local pot delivery guy and order a nickel bag? Or are you talking about just people who would be using it for medical purposes? Because there are two things, both medical and recreational, that are involved here.
I can have a pizza here in 15 minutes.
Yep.
I don't need my guy. I can go online, you know, and enter my order.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy will show up at the door.
Yep.
Well, if we can get a pizza delivered, I don't see any reason we can't get an eighth of an ounce delivered. and then
you're probably going to have to call the pizza guy after that.
Huh?
And then after you smoke that eighth of an ounce, now you're going to call the pizza guy. So
exactly.
So everybody's being helped
exactly.
out.
Exactly. I think you're inventing a new business. I think that would be, I think in lots of ways, that would be a preferable way to do it.
If Papa John's does not get into the marijuana and pizza combination business, they are missing a million-dollar opportunity.
Special pizza. Yeah, in Washington, they wouldn't be able to do that because the rule is that only a cannabis store can only sell cannabis and cannabis. Well, it's cannabis and cannabis-related products. So I guess there's a question about whether munchies are cannabis-related products. we'll need to talk to the lawyers about that one.
All right, now the other part of that, Mark, is can these stores, once they open up, can they advertise legally?
Well, so that's a really interesting question, and that's the one place where I would have really tightened up over what the Justice Department actually did. So they have these eight priorities. I would have had a ninth. I would have said any marketing activity.
No. Now,
obviously, there's going to be a sign on the on the door of the store,
yep.
And there's no reason not to have a website. But TV ads, radio ads, flyers, promotional sales, you know, social marketing, Facebook pages. I mean, none of that's necessary.
Why?
If people want to get cannabis, they can go find it. I don't see any public interest in allowing businesses to market the product.
Yeah, but if people
Particularly because the nature of this business, like the alcohol business, like the tobacco business, like the gambling business, is that a relatively small number of consumers lose control over their habit, and they provide most of the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The business model here is finding addicts. You can't make any money selling to responsible users. They just don't use enough. And so that's what the marketing effort's going to be about. So I think there's a strong argument that there's a liberty argument that people who want to get stoned ought to be able to get stoned.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a practical argument that having an illicit market's a very bad thing. And those are two good reasons to legalize.
But when you said
I can't come up with a reason to let people get rich off other people's bad habits if you can avoid it.
I understand. But when you said, you know, people who want to get marijuana will be able to find it, you could make that same argument about beer, and yet Anheuser-Busch and Miller and the others, they spend billions of dollars a year on marketing.
That's the bad example I'm trying not to repeat. I mean, people keep saying, oh, but we do it for alcohol. What, are we having fun yet? Alcohol does more damage to this country than all the illicit drugs combined.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not do that again. It's dangerous on lots of dimensions. But still, I just don't see any reason. I don't want the Anheuser-Buschization of the cannabis business. And that's the other reasonable objection to what Justice did is they said, okay, size alone is not going to be a targeting mechanism. Well, that encourages the growth of big businesses. There are lots of reasons to say, no, let's leave this a craft enterprise. Right? So you've got the craft beer market and you've got the mass market lager market.
Yep.
You know, where three firms, you know, own all of it.
Right.
You know, the craft beer market's got a lot of attractive features. You know, including a lot, you know, lots of, you know, middle-class wage jobs. Why not make the cannabis market like that? Or alternatively, why not get the profit out of it entirely and make it a strictly not-for-profit business?
Are people going to go into the marijuana business if it's going to be strictly not-for-profit?
People work for not-for-profits all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying that people aren't going to be paid wages. The question is there going to be an owner who's trying to maximize profit? Most of the educational sector in this country is organized on a not-for-profit basis, works just fine. Most of the theater business is on a not-for-profit basis. I mean, there are ways to do that. So I'm just hoping that we'll use a little bit of imagination rather than just following along with the only model we know.
Right.
And what I'm worried about a little bit is that through this, the initiative process, and then the federal government being reactive to that, we're going to get locked into something that's far short of the ideal model. And then it's going to be hard to change.
Before we go, Mark, I'd like to go back to the difference between a state having legal marijuana and the federal government saying you can't have legal marijuana. The two states we're talking about here, Colorado and Washington, have legalized it for recreational use. But we have 20 states that allow marijuana for medical use. Would the laws that the Judiciary Committee and the rest of the Senate and then the House and even the White House are considering, would they apply just to the two recreational marijuana legalized states or to all of the states that are leaning towards medical marijuana or have already implemented laws to that effect?
Right now, there's no legislation under consideration. I mean, nothing's moving through this Congress.
Uh-huh.
What's happening is there's administrative adjustment.
All right, so let me change my question.
To Colorado and Washington.
Yeah.
Yes, and so the question is, does that apply to medical?
Yeah.
Interestingly, Jenny Durkin, who's the U.S. attorney for Western Washington, and that office has been very tolerant of the medical dispensary business. There are about 150 medical outlets in Seattle, which is about as many as there are Starbucks. After the Justice Department announcement came out saying, you know, we're going to allow these robust regulatory systems to function, the U.S. attorney for Western Washington said, all right, now the medical business is no longer viable. Right? Given that there's going to be commercial availability under tight regulation,
mm-hmm.
the essentially unregulated medical system is something we no longer want to tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Haig, who's the U.S. attorney for Northern California, who's been campaigning fairly aggressively against the medical business here, has said that the new rules don't change that because those are essentially unregulated systems. And so I think there's a move right now in Sacramento to tighten down, create some real regulation around the California medical system in a way that might allow the federal government to tolerate it. And that seems to me all to the good. There are about four states that have sort of Wild West medical marijuana systems: Arizona, California, Washington, and Colorado. And Oregon, I guess, is the fifth. East of the Mississippi, most of the medical systems really are pretty medical. With relatively limited number of patients for limited numbers of conditions. But in California, medical marijuana means legal marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Venice Beach, you know, the guys in scrub suits and stethoscopes will come up to you and ask you whether you'd like a medical recommendation for $30.
It's that easy?
I am told it's like they're competing with each other.
Wow.
That's not a good system, and that really does need to be reined in.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any objection to legalizing cannabis sales for non-medical use, and I have strong support for doing the research to make some form of cannabis a legitimate pharmaceutical drug.
Mm-hmm.
But doing recreational legalization under a medical guise doesn't appeal to me, and that's what's happening in California.
Mark Kleiman is a professor of public policy at the UCLA Luskin School of Public Affairs and an advisor to the Washington State Liquor Control Board on the implementation of a regulated market for cannabis. Mark, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for your time today.
Pleasure's all mine. Thanks.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.